Let us pray. Lord God, let us have fun today. So often we just kind of make it through the day. But help us from our depths, from our very spirit, our spirit that you have given us, help us to have joy and laughter. Help us to not look at ourselves and see ourselves as the center of the universe, but help us to know that you are the God that is in our life, and help us to have you at the center of our life. So bless us now and be with us. Help us to grow closer to you. And in the process of growing closer to you, help us to be transformed from a little bit less what we are right now and turn into a little bit more what we ought to be. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This past Monday, I had to go on a trip into Orlando, Florida. I had to drive I-4. That's quite an adventure. Let me just say this, you know, driving I-4 is better than Disney. It's better than Universal. It is better than SeaWorld. It's better than them all wrapped up in one thing, because driving I-4 truly is the final frontier. I got to about Maitland. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I had to get off on Anderson Street, which is down by the arena, just beyond Colonial. And, you know, I was in traffic. I was in the middle lane because I thought that was the safest place for myself to be. And as I was driving down and I got closer and closer, I got to right by that Lake Ivanhoe. And all of a sudden, you know, I realized, well, you know, Anderson's coming up pretty quick. I better get off in the right hand lane. But as many of you who know driving that kind of traffic, probably more than I do, you know, it wasn't so easy to get over. Everybody's right on each other's tail. Everybody's moving closer and closer. So I kept on looking. I looked to my right-hand side because I had to pull over to the right-hand lane. And I looked over, and there was a Mercedes. And I figured, I have a 2002 Toyota Tundra that has 300,000 miles on it. I don't think it's any match to a Mercedes. And so as I was going along, I saw that the gap started opening up because she hadn't moved forward as fast, probably a diesel. And I zipped right in there. As soon as I got in, guess what I heard? And yelling at me. I thought to myself, you know, what's going on here? You know, I didn't cut her off. I did what I needed to do. I had to get off. I had to get over. I had my directional on since Maitland Boulevard. They should have realized it, you know. And yet here she was. She saw it as a slight to her. I saw it as a positive to me. Well, as karma would have it, on July 4th, I'm driving back on 44. And as I'm driving along, all of a sudden it's bumper to bumper traffic. I'm just about going over the Martin Luther King overpass over Route 1, right before you get to the South Causeway. And as I'm driving along, it's bumper to bumper traffic. And although I was pretty close to that car in front of me, I thought, this one little guy in a little Honda, he and his two buddies figured he wanted to get in that spot. He cut me off. It took me a second to think to myself, is this a lesson from God? And so I hesitated to go, eh! And I definitely did not give him a salute. Why do we feel the way we feel about things? Why do we feel sometimes when somebody sort of gets in front of us that it's a slight on us, that it's actually an infraction on our own character, that it's disrespectful? And yet, I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of us, sometimes when we're going in bumper to bumper traffic and somebody cuts us off, feel like, why are they disrespecting me? What are they doing? You know, I love the Old Testament, and the reason why I love the Old Testament is because you don't have to turn in from 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock on a weekday to get drama. You can go right there. You don't need to watch, you know, As the World Turns or General Hospital. Just tune in to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament story that we have today, it's a quite interesting story. It's a story of a man who is the commander of the army of Aram. His name is Naaman. And he is an incredible commander. I mean, he is top dog. He is incredibly successful and fights his battle, and he wins his battles. But he has a little thing called leprosy that he suffers from. And he wants to get rid of the leprosy. He doesn't know how to get rid of it. But there's a slave girl who works for his wife, who was captured out of Israel, that says to him, listen, if you lived in Israel, there's a prophet there that could cure you of your leprosy. He could cure you of your leprosy. Well, Naaman says, well, this is great. He goes and tells his king, and his king decides, look, I'm going to send a letter to the king of Israel, and I'm going to say to him, look, you know, I'm going to send my commander, Naham, and I'm going to send him to you. He's got leprosy, and I want you to cure him of it. But you know what? I'm going to pay you up front. I'm going to give you a whole lot of gold. I'm going to give you a boatload of silver, and I'm going to give you all these garments. But, you know, just cure my man. Now he does it in a very upfront and true way. But how does the king of Israel respond to it? Let me read to you. Jen read it well, but let me read it to you again. Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. Now, I don't know about you. I didn't ever enter any quarrel, did you? No, I mean, the commander doesn't. He just wants to get healed. The king, he just wants to help out his commander. There's no sort of, you know, back door here. There's no, you know, intrigue. There's nothing. The man wants to get cured of leprosy. Face value, that's it. But the king of Israel sees that he's going to get entrapped rather than sees this as what it is. Elisha, the prophet, hears about it. He hears that the king has torn his clothes because the king's really upset. And he sends word, he says, just send them to me. It's not a big deal. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. The king does listen, sends Naham to Elisha. And there Elisha simply sends a messenger out to the king and says, look, you want to get well of leprosy? Just go down to the Jordan, wash yourself 7 times, and you'll be clean. But what does Naaman receive that as? You know, I'm Naaman. I'm the commander of the army of Aram. I can kick his little butt. I could take him out just with a flick of my finger. How dare he do that to me? How dare he do that? I thought he'd at least come out and wave his hand over me, over the spot that I have. You know, aren't the rivers of Damascus better than the rivers of Israel? You know, Pharpar and Abana? Oh, they're better than the Jordan. How dare he do that? But then his servants, who are much wiser as we see, don't forget, who told him about Elisha? It was a servant. And the servants that serve him now, they say, if he'd ask you something hard, would you gone to do it? Why not just give it a shot? Go down there. And he goes down. He dips himself in the Jordan 7 times, as he was told. He comes out and he's clean. What makes us feel the way we feel? I know that most of you are much healthier than I am. But you know, there's times that people say things to me and I receive it all the wrong way. There's times that people say things to me or don't say things about me and I think, well, I deserve more credit. I deserve more energy. I deserve more attention. And yet somewhere in the midst of me, something happens that, to tell you the truth, I feel slighted. I feel like they aren't giving the honor that I'm due. After all, I'm Jim Spencer from Island, New Jersey. How dare they do that? You know, I started to look at that, and then I looked at the gospel. And the gospel for today is a really interesting thing. Because in the gospel today, Jesus sends out 70 of his disciples. It's not just the 12, it's actually 70 other. He sends them out 2 by 2. And he looks at the 70, he says, go out to every town that I'm going to go to and prepare the way for me. And he says to him, when you go out, take no purse, no bag, no sandals. Don't greet anybody on the way. But when you enter a town, go to a house. And if the house is a house of peace, then give your peace and it'll stay with you. Go in there and then do what? Heal the sick. You'll cast out demons. You'll do all kinds of things and stay there. You know, what does this teach us? What does it teach us? It teaches me one thing very clear, that I've got to be a man if I want to be a part of what Jesus is all about. I've got to be a man who's got, number one, a little thicker skin than I probably have. But it also teaches me that it's not so much what I'm going to do of taking no bag, no purse, no sandals, not greeting anybody on the way. It's not just what I do, and it's not about me healing or casting out demons. It's not about what I do, it's about who I am. I got to be a man of peace. Because none of that would have taken place if it wasn't a man of peace staying in a house of peace. You see, it's a lot more about what you are than about what you do. And what you are sort of instructs you on what you do. If you are a thin-skinned person, odds are it's going to be real difficult for you to serve God. Because somewhere along the line, somebody's going to offend you. Trust me, I've been a priest for 30 years. You get offended every day. You just do. By somebody, something somebody says, or sometimes by something somebody doesn't say. You know, I mean, if you don't get all the accolades that you think you deserve in a day, it doesn't feel real good. Oh my God, I'm not loved the way I want to be loved. And it truly is about being a kingdom person and a person of peace, a person who lives in my true self, not in my false self. You know, for a lot of us, we can't distinguish between the true self and the false self. But in every person, there is a true self and there is a false self. The false self is the self that you've made for yourself. It's that part of you that you measure things against. Maybe it's about the occupation you had, the looks that you have. Maybe it's about the education you have. Maybe it's about the people you hang out with. Those are all things that are there. You know what? That false self, that is incredibly vulnerable, that false self. Because that false self can get hurt. It can get hurt real easy, because if somebody doesn't give you enough energy, or somebody gives you not, you know, too much energy, or energy in the wrong way, what happens? It feels like, oh my God, it's an offense. It's as though you're driving down I-4 and somebody pulls in front of you. The good news of the gospel is, number one, it's not about you. It's not about you. But how many of us make it about us? How many of us make it about us in our family, in our friends, in the way that we deal with our community? It's about us. By God, you did that to me. I was in Publix, and that was a parking space I had planned on for the last 5 years, and you took it? We make it about us, and it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about God. And to be a kingdom person, to be a person of peace, means that you realize it's more of who you are and knowing who you are, that true self of who you are, that you're created in the image of God, that you're a child of God, and realizing that when you're a child of God, made in the image of God, if you're really in that, nothing's going to affect you. You might get sad or glad. You may get angry at things. But truly, yourself will never get injured if you are in the image of God. Jesus says real clearly that when you send out the people, you're going to handle scorpions and cast out demons and handle snakes. I don't think I'll ever do most of that stuff. I'm an Episcopalian. We don't touch too many snakes. But then it says, and nothing will harm you. The things that can harm people like me are the words that are said or the words that are not said. I would venture to guess you're not too far from me. Have you ever had a child that just doesn't show you the respect you think you deserve, although they're 50 years old? Have you ever had somebody that sort of just doesn't go by the game plan that you had for their life and your life? You see, what I'm saying is, to be free of that means to be a kingdom person. You know, Jesus is really funny, because what he says very clearly, he says this: go into the house of peace. Now, if you go into a town and it's a city or a town of peace, well, stay in that city or town. Do the things you got to do. Eat and drink what they offer you. Stay there as long as you can, and heal the sick and cast out demons. Do the things you're supposed to do. But if you go into a town or a city that does not welcome you, shake the dust off from your feet as a protest against it. That doesn't mean you're saying in your face. What it means is don't carry it with you. Don't carry it with you. I mean, let's put it on the line here. Confession time. Please all raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Now go down like this. Now go up like this. Now go like this. Thank you. Now I'll confess my sin. You just absolved me. But I mean, let's put it on the line here. Tomorrow will be 1 week since that event happened to me on I-4. I guess I didn't shake the dust from I-4 from my feet. Why am I carrying it? It's because it's my fake self that's carrying it. Not my true self. My true self is free. My true self is free. My true self is joyful. My true self has fun in the kingdom. Do you have fun in the kingdom? Are you a kingdom person? Are you a person of peace? You know, I met a person of peace a while back. Got here 16 years ago, known her off and on. I knew her mom and her dad, knew her sisters. I knew, you know, her whole family, her brother-in-law. In fact, I buried her mom and her dad. I buried one of her sisters and her brother-in-law. And yesterday, I buried her. Her name was Muffy. Muffy was the daughter of Caleb and Fran Rohrig, who lived right down here that died quite a few years ago. Muffy was what you probably would call an intellectually challenged person. She was Down syndrome. But Muffy had a sense of the kingdom like none other. I can remember times when Muffy would just sort of be in the church, and she'd sing along with Michael a lot of the times, Mary. And she'd just sing, and she'd get up, and she'd start dancing. She had rhythm. I don't have any rhythm. She could dance. She had a sense of joy about her. But the saying that she said more than anything else, according to her sisters, was this: don't worry. Muffy knew it wasn't about her. I wish I knew it wasn't about me. Do you know it's not about you? Now you're a member of the kingdom. You are important. Don't misunderstand. The kingdom needs you. You are incredibly important. But it's not about you. And when we come to the place where we finally realize that the things that we sow in the spirit will reap eternal life, but the things that we sow in the flesh will reap corruption, and we realize that we choose to have the kingdom, we choose to have peace, we choose to be the people God calls us to be, there is a freedom, a joy, a happiness that can't be taken away from you. Muffy had that. Someday I might even get a little rhythm. But I know this. In the next couple of weeks, if somebody honks at me, I'm just going to smile and say, it's not about me. And I'm going to trust. Because I'm going to try and practice what it means to be a person of peace. And try and give out peace at every turn. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.